listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. And joining us today, Chris Collins, columnist with the Greenfield Recorder, and Kristen Palpini, business editor with the Berkshire Eagle. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Thank you.
There was a lot of talk about school funding in Massachusetts this week. A group of parents and education advocates sued state officials, saying the current funding formula doesn't keep up with the needs of students. Danielle Anderson, a parent from Orange, says she wants the state funding system to be fairer.
So that our taxpayers aren't going to have to try and make up the difference. The taxpayers in Cambridge, they can afford it. We can't. We just don't have it.
And the plaintiffs say pending legislation on Beacon Hill just doesn't go far enough. Chris, does this lawsuit have a shot at changing things?
Well, the last time ed reform became a topic and there was actually a bill that was filed was the result of a lawsuit. So there's a long history of legal action forcing legislators to do their jobs. I mean, this is not a complicated thing, although I think that those that make policy in this state tend to overcomplicate it. It's very simple. You cannot continue to fund schools through the tax rate, the tax base of individual communities. There's got to be a different funding mechanism. There's got to be a better funding formula.
Now, Charlie Baker, the governor of Massachusetts, was also in Springfield this week touting his own education funding bill. And I had a chance to ask him how he would help rural school districts, many of which are suffering from dwindling enrollment and funding that goes along with enrollment. And here's what he said.
I think the biggest thing we need to do there is work with them to figure out what I would describe as the right sizing of their school districts and their schools is going to look like.
But Baker says he does not know what the right way is. Kristen, there's been a lot of talk about consolidation of schools in Berkshire County in recent years. Should local officials be worried about the state forcing them to do just that?
I think they should be very worried that the east side of the state doesn't seem to know what's happening in the west side with the rural communities. I thought Baker's comments were naive and condescending and didn't acknowledge the decades, quite frankly, of work and collaboration that schools out here have been putting in to make their budgets work.
Chris?
If I had a word to choose, I'd choose myopic. I mean, it's embarrassing that a governor of Massachusetts would be that naive. And yeah, it's nice to say, well, let's right-size these districts. Oh, great. If you want to spend 3 hours on a school bus going to school, I mean, that's the part that no one talks about. Geographically, the time it takes to get, I mean, Ladley Blade did this recently and rode a school bus an hour with a student to Hampshire Regional School. How'd you like to ride a school bus for an hour each way to get to your schools? And that's what we're facing. We talk about right-sizing. I don't know what that even means, right-sizing a school district.
Meanwhile, while Massachusetts continues to realize tax revenue from adult-use marijuana sales, Connecticut lawmakers failed to reach a deal on that. Lawmakers did not agree on some of the finer details of a bill before their session ended, and there's also been some well-funded opposition to the idea. Kristen, this is something you've followed for a long time. Do you see Connecticut figuring this out in the near future?
I do, because there's so much support for it just naturally in the state, according to polls and just anecdotal evidence. But the well-funded anti-marijuana crew got in there. They were able to spread their message, and it was effective. So, but I think that next time around, and it will come up again, that the pro-marijuana group will be ready for it.
Chris, Massachusetts legalized marijuana at the ballot box. It's a time-consuming process, but should pot supporters in Connecticut take a similar approach?
I don't understand what the debate is here. I understand that there's a well-funded group that's opposed to it. I don't know what the opposition is. How do you make the argument that this is necessarily bad thing?
It's the children. They were worried about the children, and they cited all kinds of statistics.
Well, the last time I checked, there hasn't, you know, the Commonwealth hasn't been swallowed up and, you know, gone, you know, down to the netherworld because we legalized marijuana. In fact, there's been no evidence that I can see, anecdotal or otherwise, to indicate that anything bad has occurred since that legalization.
Kristen, would a ballot effort in Connecticut be a good thing? You think that would get the job done?
I mean, it would probably get the job done, but I think the unfortunate part would be what happened with Massachusetts would happen with them, and that when you make legislation at the ballot box, it's not always... You have to rewrite it a lot.
Yeah, it's problematic. And that's a problem that has historically been the case here. Although in Massachusetts, we have kind of a tradition. If the legislators in question don't like the question, they just don't implement it, like clean elections. In the case of marijuana, they had no choice. And they put together a commission that was made up of opponents of the idea of legalization, which only, I think, made the situation more difficult.
Right.
Back in Massachusetts, lawmakers this week heard from supporters and opponents to the state's film tax credit. It's due to run out at the end of 2022, and some want to see it made permanent. Opponents say the payroll tax credit of 25% only produces short-term spending and jobs and isn't enough to justify the expense. Chris, should Massachusetts continue this or stop trying to be Hollywood East?
Of course they should continue it. You're talking about in the context of the state budget, pennies on the dollar, and what you get for it. I mean, is anybody argue that Castle Rock filming in Orange is a bad thing for Orange? I mean, is the filming the movie Blown Away in Boston, was that bad for Boston? No. Every time we appear on a Hollywood screen, it's instant recognition, I think, for the community in question. Same thing with what happened in Shelburne with the movie The Judge. I think it's a good thing.
Kristen, the last two governors, Charlie Baker and Deval Patrick, have been against this idea. What do you see lawmakers doing?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because I was looking for information about this to figure out exactly what the impact had been. And from what I could tell, it cost the state about $80 million every year. And it's not very clear if it's starting a lot of jobs or not. Is this starting an industry in Massachusetts? And it wasn't clear. But these are things that people can find out pretty easily. UMass does studies like this. Williams does studies like this very cheaply. So the fact that nobody's found out yet makes me think that this might not be great.
Chris?
I mean, I go back to what I said. I think that in $80 million is not an insignificant amount of money, but in the context of a multi-billion-dollar state budget, I think it's an optics thing. I think and there's no such thing as bad publicity for our Commonwealth, especially one as beautiful as this one. I think the more screens we are on, the better for the Commonwealth.
I just wonder that, you know, why the film industry? Why not a different one that we're giving this money to?
It's a good question. I think maybe it should be expanded to include any kind of entertainment that decides to film here. I go back to the Castle Rock analogy, and people in Orange, people in Franklin County are pumped up about the idea of having a series taped in their community. I think it's a good thing. It's worth the investment, but we'll see if the powers that be agree.
All right, Chris Collins of the Greenfield Recorder and Kristen Palpini of the Berkshire Eagle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of the Shortlist and NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast hub. Also, listen to Beacon Hill and 5, our weekly check-in at the Massachusetts State House. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.